The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us this hour as we are gathered together via online or on CD. We have come to the point on our government regulations in this COVID time that we cannot assemble in person as such, so we have chosen as a church to simply be online or CD, and you're most welcome to attend that way. You are listening to the Winkler Sommerfeld Mennonite Church here in Winkler, and your speaker is Abe Heppner here from Winkler, and we have a group of people leading us in song. So we will have scripture and some singing. And those of you that are listening, have your Bibles with you, have your songbooks with you, your hymnals, and you can join in this type of a service. Feel quite at home, and we want to edify and grow in the Lord and see what the Bible scripture has to say to us. For opening scripture, which will pertain to the meditation or the service today, I had chosen two portions of scripture, divided my service into two halves. And the first part of the scripture that I want to use is taken in Hebrews 11, verse 1, which reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And then in 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." These two portions of scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, are the scripture passages which we want to focus in on, and they are to intertwine the thoughts of scripture and how they relate one to another. Before we go over to the congregational singing, let us unite in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this evening and this morning, or whenever you listen to this, we ask your blessing upon the songs as well as the reading of your scripture, the service that we render. Father, enable us and strengthen us, bless this time, and we ask your guidance and direction for us as well as those that are in government. We pray for the leaders of our country. We pray for Trudeau, and we pray for Stephenson, the Premier, Cameron, Candace, as well as Josh Ginter, and our local mayor, and as well as our school divisions and our doctors, and the people that are sickly and are coping. Father, that you might be near to each one of them, we know, and we as believers, we recognize that our health is in your hands. These other people, they assist, they help, but really, you have it in your hands, and we are aware of that. We thank you for your goodness, we thank you for forgiveness, and for your redemption, and we thank you also that you have brought us to this point, that we can serve you in a way that would honor and glorify you. We ask your guidance and direction, your protection in this time and also in the coming days. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. We'll have two congregational songs at this time.
Please take your red books and turn to page number 8, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul
Number 29, My Song Shall Be of Jesus.
My song shall be of Jesus, His mercy crowns my days. He fills my cup with blessings and tunes my heart to praise. My song shall be of Jesus, the precious Lamb of God, who gave Himself my ransom and bought me with His blood. My song shall be of Jesus when sitting at His feet. I call to mind His goodness in meditation sweet. My song shall be of Jesus, whatever will be done. I'll sing the grace that saves me and keeps me at His side. My song shall be of Jesus while pressing on my way to reach a blissful region of pure and perfect day. And when my soul shall enter the gate of Eden fair, a song of praise to Jesus I'll sing forever there.
Thank you. What wonderful hymns to sing. Like I mentioned, we will use those two passages of Scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 3:11, for the service. And I will go through Hebrews 11. There's 40 verses. I will not read every last verse, but I will go through them and see what we can take out of them. Verse 1, the verse that I read said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We know that as people, the element of faith is very important, what we think, what we believe. We'll go into that further. Can we be deceived in our faith? But faith is very important. And here it says that faith is a substance. It's a substance. It's part of us, of the things that we don't see and still believe. That's faith. And 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4. There we read, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We base our faith on something that we haven't seen, and still the things that we see are temporal. They'll go away. And then it goes through the chapter, and it's part of history on the substance of faith. I find that interesting. And I believe we as people learn no better than from past history of the mistakes people made and also the good things people made in faith. And here, chapter 11, which we call the faith chapter, will line out for us people of faith and how they were carried through. See, they had never seen it, but they believed it. That's part of faith, exactly what verse 1 says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. Not seen. You know, it's like a child, if it stands on a platform and sees daddy holding out the hand so the child will jump into daddy's hand, the child has faith daddy will catch the child. The child doesn't know, but has faith that that will happen. That will happen. It hasn't seen it, but it believes it. Verse 2 talks about exactly what I said about this chapter 11, about history, important history of the Old Testament. That's why we have the Old Testament. It's a teaching tool for us as believers in the New Testament. We must remember they never had seen salvation. They had never seen Jesus crucified. They had never seen Jesus that the tomb was empty, but they believed it. That must take something. Over a period of approximately, it could be close to 2,000 years from Adam and Eve to the New Testament. Every generation, they did sacrifice, and every generation said, this is what's going to happen. A Jew would come to this world without sin and would be their redemption. And here it says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. What it means to say the elders retain a good report, the people that are older, those that have passed on, and referring to the Old Testament, they have received a good report through this faith that they'd never seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made what things do appear. It goes over to say that Abel, he offered an excellent sacrifice with Cain, than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. It goes over to this, that's the first person mentioned here in the faith chapter, Abel. Well, he lived right from the beginning. He offered a better sacrifice, an excellent sacrifice, better than Cain. And we know what happened. One brother killed the other. It goes over to say that Enoch was translated and did not see death. See, Enoch was never died. He was taken up. We call that the rapture. Enoch, the rapture is not something new. Jesus was raptured. Enoch was raptured. Here it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. They couldn't find him because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please him? By faith. And then in verse 6 it says, but without faith. Now listen, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If anybody's a believer and doesn't have faith, you can't even please God. You must believe that he will reward. You must have faith. That's how important the substance of faith is, the element. Goes over to verse 7 of Noah, had never seen rain. Just imagine. Noah had never seen rain, just dew, but no rain. And along comes God and says to Noah, you build me this big ark, and I'll let it rain. Can you imagine? The people living around would say, Noah, you're a little cuckoo. Now we know for sure that you haven't got it together. It's never rained, and you're building a huge, huge ark. And he used many of the people that would probably be drowned later. I mean, he's lost it. Today they would say, bring him to the mental home. But he, in faith, believed if he had not seen it, and he built it according to the specs that God designed. He was the one that designed it. He's the blueprinter of the ark. God. And if God's in the plan, and you have faith and I have faith, and it works. That's huge. That was the beginning of the world, that he chose Noah and his family. Important. how Noah. It says that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, you see, moved with fear, he had the fear of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, of his family, by the which he condemned the world, God condemned the world, and he became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. That's the promise, Noah God. And then it says, by Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Here's Abraham. He goes, leaves everything, and has faith, and packs up and goes to a country that he's never seen. That's faith. Why did he do it? God told him to do it. See, he trusted God. Faith has an element, a total element of surrender and trust. It's not about us. It's trusting the one that made us. And Abraham said, well, God, if you want me to do that, yeah, I think I should move. But he did bigger things. Listen to what Abraham did later yet. And here it says about Abraham that he moved from one country into another. It says in verse 10, referring to Abraham, look for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is what? God. That was his ultimate goal. His aim was to please God, to live in faith, and if God said this, then I do that. And you know, the end of the story of Abraham, I believe he was under the few that were so blessed, and he knew it. Because when him and Lot farmed together, Abraham, as the uncle, said to Lot, his nephew, Lot, you make the choice, I'll take the other side. But we're going to split. Today we're not farming together. If our employees are starting to squabble, Abraham said, das nicht nötig. It's not necessary. So Lot chose Sodom, his nephew, being the younger. Abraham chose the other side, and who was blessed? And Abraham knew it. See, he surrendered. And then it goes over to Abraham's wife, Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Oh, she gets a baby. And was delivered of a child, which she passed age because she judged him faith who had promised. God promised. Had she seen the child? No. Did she think that she'd get pregnant? She even laughed, and she didn't believe him. But she still had faith because God had said it. Therefore sprang there even of one him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea's shore innumerable. Yeah, this is the promise that God gave to him. You know, out of this first child that Abraham and Sarah had was Isaac, right? It was Isaac. The Muslims will tell you it was Ishmael. It wasn't Ishmael. It was Isaac. And under the faith that Abraham had and Sarah, later on we find that Abraham wanted to offer this only son. Just imagine. Why did he do it? God asked him. And God intervened, and he didn't have to offer him. But after that, it says there, God said to Abraham, I will multiply this seed as the sand of the seashore, as the stars of the sky, referring to the Jews. And he made a promise with Abraham and his descendants of the obedience of Abraham. Abraham was so obedient that one child that God had given to him, he was willing to give him up. Just imagine, that is faith. Nothing more, nothing less. What God says is the final word. And Abraham did it. But in verse 11 and 12, it talks about the child being born. And then it says, it makes a conclusive statement in verse 13. These all died in faith. See, they all died in faith. He went to eternity in faith. Not having received the promises. What promises? Of Jesus. The redemption. Not seeing of the promises, but having seen them are far off. They knew it was coming. That was part of faith. Because Jesus already, God already said in Genesis 3:15 that he would raise an individual, a woman, that would conquer Satan in Genesis 3:15. So they had not received the promise, but they saw it from far off, from a distance, and were persuaded of them, meaning of the promises, and embraced the promises, and confessed. This is what these people in faith did. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. That's, you know, I want to ask us here to assemble tonight, but also those that are listening, do we approach life in faith and confess, really, we're only strangers and pilgrims on this earth? We're just moving through. Do we really? Sometimes we think we have control of life. We don't. These people, I won't say it again, they died in faith. They received the promises. They saw the promises from a distance that it was happening some hundreds of years later. And they embraced them. They didn't let go of those promises. And at the final end, they simply confessed, we are just here for a little short time. They are pilgrims and strangers. You know, often Christians and people of faith, they're not the majority, they're a minority. They're not the majority. And they often feel like strangers and pilgrims. They are misunderstood. It's nothing new. Noah was misunderstood, and many others. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then it goes over to how verse 17, how faith of the Abraham, how he offered Isaac, and he received the promises offered of his only begotten son, verse 17, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. See, there we see Abraham getting the promise, and he offered up Isaac. He was willing to offer him. Isaac, verse 20, was blessed. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then we go over to verse 21, Jacob, he blessed the sons of Joseph. And Joseph, by faith, Joseph, when he died, he mentioned of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That was by faith. Moses commanded where his bones should be brought. It goes over to the faith of Moses when he was born, that he was hid 3 months of his parents. We know in the bulrushes. They wanted to kill the young boys, and Moses was not killed, but was hid from his parents, taken from his parents, because he was a proper child. They do not, you know, this is all history. All history that relates to us today. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, the same baby that was born, when he was come to age, that means when he was a grown-up. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he chose rather, in verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God. He would rather suffer with the believers than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. That was Moses' choice. His faith said, no, I'm not serving pleasure or sin, because it's only for a season, it says in verse 25. And then it talks about how by faith he forsook Egypt, and many other things, how he led the children out of through the Red Sea in verse 29. Big acts of God by faith. Big acts of God. How the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, even the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And then it says, and what shall we say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson. Samson is under here too, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel and the prophets. And here it says what they all endured. I want to read these verses. These people that were in faith didn't have an easy life. They had many challenges. We think we have challenges today, but it's faith that carried them through. Now it talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Saul, Samuel, and prophets. Verse 33, these are what some of these people endured in the Old Testament. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. We know that what Daniel did in lion's den. He stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, part of their faith life. And others were tormented. There were some that were tormented, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scorning, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned because of people of faith. They were stoned, persecuted. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's clothes and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report. Listen, they received a good report. Verse 2 talked about of Hebrews 11. I'll read verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 39 says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. See, they hadn't received it when it talks about the promise, not the promise of Jesus coming by grace. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should be made perfect. And then I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that live by faith, in other words, let us lay aside every weight that and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, he concludes chapter 11 of the faith chapter. He makes a closure on that and said, this is what happened to these people. They were a people of faith. They built an ark. They offered their son Isaac. They did many things. They endured all of this persecution. But he says, these are the cloud of witnesses. And he says, for that part that we have learned, what these went through, he says, the sin that just weighs us down, let us put it aside. Let's run the race, the physical, the spiritual race. And then in verse 2, it says how we're supposed to run it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author, but the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wonderful. See, these people in the Old Testament and in chapter 11 were all, they looked at the promises. Number chapter 12 says, these are the promises, these are the witnesses, and let's look in our race to Jesus, the author and finisher. When we think of faith, I've gone through the chapter 11 and part of chapter, two verses of chapter 12. We know that Jesus pointed to children. He said to adults, you must become as children. In Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. We know that the adults of the time were not happy that Jesus took time for the children. But he says, you must become as little children, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Children are saved. No question. And then in chapter 9 of it, Mark, the disciples under themselves were disputing who should be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And they were kind of disputing and talking about it, and Jesus knew that what they were thinking about. And he says these verses in verse 36 and 37. And he took a child and set them in the midst of them while they were talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He took a child and set them in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them. See, he takes a child and says unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever receiveth me shall receive, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So it refers to that we need to receive the children and how children have the faith that it takes. Children have the faith that it takes. A child, we know that when we don't baptize young infant children because we say they don't have faith. They have some faith, but it's not developed. You know, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit moves into us, and then we should develop that faith. That's a developing. A child has only a certain amount of faith. But you talk to a child about Jesus or Jesus coming at Christmas, they will believe just about everything you say. They believe it. And an adult, he says, you must become as little children. I know that when children die, they are in eternity with Jesus. David, when his son was sick, he quit lamenting or stood up. He washed his face, and the people around him didn't know what was going on. They said, what's with David? He says, I'm going to meet my child. And so people that aren't accountable to God, they have faith, but they're not accountable to the age of accountability, will be in heaven. I think heaven will be eternity, will be full of little children. I think there will be, in my books, there will be more children than adults. Just imagine all the aborted babies will all be there. No question. Just imagine the day of the rapture. I talked about Enoch and Jesus. The day of the rapture, all those children, will all of a sudden, there will be no school and no grades for them. They'll all be left. Non-believing parents will go to their bedrooms and look into the cribs, and there will be no child. They're gone. Where will they be? All in heaven. I think heaven will be full of little children because Jesus loves them. So in faith, to believe what we pray, it takes faith. We have studied what faith is. When we read scripture in our daily life, do we believe in faith? It is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Matthew 10, the disciples come to Jesus, and the situation is this way. They see a nice temple, and then Jesus replies to them, not one stone will be left upon another. That's an indication. You're looking at the world and how nice the buildings are. He says that will not stay. In the same chapter, Jesus warns of deception. He says, be not deceived. I believe 4 or 5 times in Matthew 10. He says to his disciples, he talks about the end times and the event of end times. He talks about the days of Noah and many other things that you can read in Matthew 10. But what I find striking is, be not deceived, you see? You can be deceived in your faith. And that's a great obstacle if we are deceived. The deception today, is there deception? We read in 1 John 4:1, prove the spirits whether they be of God. That's part of your faith. That's your duty. Don't just take everything that anybody says. Prove it. Prove the spirits whether they be of God. They are very parallel to the truth. When Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Today they say there is maybe different ways already. That is not true. That is deception. We have to prove, and what is deception, we don't accept. Paul, the apostle, already in Galatians, in the time of the Galatian church, he says, what is this that you're going to another gospel? He says, there is no another gospel. You can read in Galatians 1. He says, who has bewitched you? We know what it means to be bewitched. He calls the people of Galatians to be bewitched, to be deceived and be bewitched, not in faith, but in a counter. I don't know where it's exactly written, but it talks about in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, going to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Just because you and I have faith, we need to prove it. Deception, more than ever before, we should build on that faith. You know, the disciples, they said to Jesus, increase our faith. They pled for more faith. Should we be praying the same thing? Jesus said the smallest seed, the mustard seed is the smallest. He says, and it gives a big plant so that the fowls of the air go into this mustard seed, and it's only a little seed. He says, if you have a faith like a mustard seed, you can remove mountains. Where's our faith? Where is our faith is the question. At this time, we'll break for a congregational song, please.
Out of the blue book, number 400, at Calvary.
We will continue just on the second portion of scripture that I had my opening on, was 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Of those that you have in your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read the verse that I used for opening and then expound on the whole chapter. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is truly what we in faith want to build upon. The first part of the message was in faith, and the history of faith of the Old Testament, how they suffered, and that there was a cloud of witnesses that built on this foundation. And here it says, there is no other foundation. One that is laid is only Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, I had it there before. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father, no one in going to heaven, without the redemption of Jesus Christ. Regardless what they say, it's not going to happen. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. No one comes into the Father but by me. These are very basic truths that we have to accept in faith. Now, Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians, and I want to go through it from starting in verse 1 and see how these people were deceived. We talked about deception, yeah? Can it happen then and can it happen today? It happened then and it can happen today. Don't never say that it can't happen. Because if you or I say it can't happen, the Bible says, he that thinketh that he stand, take heed lest he fall. Be careful. And here it says how they were deceived. Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak. He's talking to the Corinthian church. Now, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. He says to the Corinthians church, you know what? I've come to this church of Corinth, and he says, you know what? I can't really talk to you spiritually. You're still as babes, meaning, what are babes? They can't do too much. Finally, they recognize voices. Finally, they start seeing colors, recognizing people walk, but that's babes, you know? That's how they start off. And he's referring to the spiritual walk as babes in Christ to the Corinthian people. He says, not spiritual, not deeper. In a different portion of scripture, you know what he says? He says, the spiritual things are like chewing on meat and not milk. See? A child, you will never give meat. No mother would do that. Give a child meat. It doesn't have teeth. It can't digest that. And he's referring to it in a people that are living on in this world that are adults. You must remember, these are adults. He's not talking to children. He's talking to adults, the Corinthian church as believers. And he says, I'm coming to you, but I can't talk to you about deep things of the scripture. You're still on milk. In other words, you're still on the thing that we are Christians and accepted Jesus, but otherwise we don't know too much. Maybe never read our Bibles and never go to church. I don't know. But he kind of scolded them when you hear what he has to say. He says, I couldn't come to you as adults or spiritual. He says this in verse 2, I have fed you with milk. See, babes are on milk and not with meat. He says, I have not fed you with meat, just with milk. Hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you not. He said, you couldn't take the meat before, hither, and you can't do it now yet, the meat. You're still on this milk. And I wonder sometimes in our faith walk, which we talked about in the first part of our message, are we still on milk or are we on meat? Are we soon offended if somebody puts out scripture, even if we don't agree with it, but it really wants to touch us and we push it aside? Then we are still on milk. See? We want scripture that suits us, not that we adjust to scripture. That's wrong. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and not are ye not carnal and walk as men? He says, you are not in unity. And why are they not in unity? He expounds it. He says, one of you say, I'm of Paul. I support Paul. The other person says, I'm of Apollos. He says, that's on milk. That's carnal. That's not spiritual. He says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They are ministers on whom you believe, even as the Lord gave every man. He says, they are people. Paul says, there are people, but who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who are they but ministers? And then he says, I have planted, referring to Paul. Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and everyone shall receive his own rewarding according to his own labors. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandmen, ye are God's building. So Paul puts this together to the Corinthians and says, what is it with you? I'm coming to you, and you just want milk. Maybe you just want love and grace, like we hear a lot today. Just itching ears, Paul says to Timothy. Maybe that was the circumstance. But he says, you're following people. He says, you know, they're actually all together. One is planting, the other is watering in this kingdom work. But he says, really, you will get your reward, whatever your job, your work is. For we are laborers together, he says. But don't build on them. He says, that is not spiritual. It's not faith. It's not a sound foundation, you know. You will read our text verse. And then he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me, he says, Paul says, to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. He takes a warning. Don't be deceived. Take heed how ye build thereon. So he says to the Corinthians, be careful. I can tell you outright, your milk, you have divisions in the Corinthian church, and it's due to people building on people. He wouldn't have said that's hogwash, but that is nothing. That's empty. People die and they go. You don't build on people. That's what he's trying to say. That is no foundation. But he says, as a wise master builder, God has given me the grace. As a wise master builder, he says, I have come to lay this foundation. And he says, other people come and just simply put on that foundation. I plant, somebody else what? He says, that's how it works. But then he puts everything in perspective in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't lay another foundation. It's finished. That foundation has been laid. Don't come and put a different foundation and say, oh, this Apollos did and this that person did. Those are people, he says. The foundation has been laid. I did it by the grace of God. For many years I thought, well, Paul, you're kind of riding the high horse. It's a little. But he, you know what? He's really not bragging. You know what he's saying? By the grace of God. He didn't say that he did it. He says, God gave me the grace to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel as a wise master. For other foundation can no man lay, not even anybody. And that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is the promise of the Old Testament. That when I read in Hebrews 11 that they saw a promise afar off, this was the foundation. That the Apostle Paul had experience on the road to Damascus by faith, where he turned around and he was preaching the gospel to the Corinthians and many people, and he says, don't you build on people. The warning goes out today. Be not deceived. A televangelist, any other person, don't build them. They might be doing their work, that's fine. You don't have to degrade them, don't knock them, but don't build upon them. There is only one foundation. The true foundation of salvation is in Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he says this. He says that he basically says, like, humans have a choice, yeah? We know that. Now if any man, verse 12, now if any man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, he says, anybody want to build on that? First of all, he says, if you build on people, that's empty. That just causes division. There's no merit in that. There is only foundation. But he says, if any person wants to build on a foundation of gold, let's say money, monetary things, silver, or nice things upon earthly things, he says, verse 13, every man's work shall be manifest. Don't be fooled. It'll come to surface on what you have built. It says, for the day shall reveal it on what you've built. You don't mock God. You won't deceive God. You might deceive people. But he says, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire what sort it is. A fire what? And try every man's work what sort of it. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. See? There is a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as by fire. And then it goes over to say that we are the temple of the living God, and God's Spirit wants to live in us in faith. You can read that in the verses follow. Verse 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. There's nothing wrong with being smart. I only want to go to a doctor that's smart. How about you? I don't want to go to a doctor who has grade 3 or 4 or 5 or grade 8. How would we want to go to such a doctor? But if he says the wisdom of this world is actually empty if they don't have God. You know, the end of life serves to no need if we just have a lot of education. The wisdom of this world. Therefore, let no man glory in men, like they did, he started in the beginning of the chapter. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul... And he refers to these people, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life or death, all things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. I think he puts it very good in perspective. The part of faith should always be based on Jesus. That is the true foundation. It's not on Santa Claus, nothing other than Jesus. And as soon as we deviate from it, it's not right. We will suffer. Jesus is the focal point. Faith and our building is on the foundation. We know that if we build a building, it has to have a good foundation. Spiritually, same way. And this faith begins when we get born again, when we are believers. We admit that we are sinners, and we build on this faith when we should grow in the faith. We are anchored. Does our anchor hold? Is a song in our hymnal. Paul instructed that to others, and he also lived that in faith, building on Jesus Christ. He was a wise master builder. This faith needs to be exercised in good times. Like we people generally in Canada, we only know about good times, don't we? We don't know about persecution like we read in Hebrews 11. Sawn asunder, cut apart, stoned. We don't know something about it. But this faith should be exercised in good times, but definitely in challenging times. Of how do we discern? How do we discern? Because good and evil, and what is the tendency of where it's going to lead us? You know, we had people in the Old Testament. Daniel, he made that discernment. Even when his comrade said, Daniel's going up into his room and praying 3 times a day, Daniel still did it. He knew that he would still continue. Noah, when he was told that in faith, he still did what he was asked to do, regardless if the people laughed at him. Abraham, when asked to sacrifice his son or move from one country to another, he did it. Was it popular or not? He did it. The 12 spies that went to, and these are all Old Testament stories. The 12 spies that went out to spy the land of Canaan, there was 12 and 2, not the majority. Only 2 came back and said, Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. They were people of faith, and we said, if we take God as our helper, we can go into there. And you'll read about Joshua and Caleb, but not the other 10. How come? It really doesn't matter the majority. It matters if we are in faith and we are on God's side. In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about the foundations and what it implies. Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. There at Matthew 7, it talks about not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22 of Matthew 7 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? Haven't we done all of this? And in thy name done wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, workers of iniquity. They thought they had lived in faith. They had even cast out devils. But here is the verse 24 to 27 of Matthew 7. It talks about the wise men and the foolish men and how they had foundations, and they were quite different. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is a wise man building his house upon a rock. It says he hears God's word, he does them. Okay, what's the result? This person lives in faith. He hears it, but he also does it. Faith brings action. Faith always brings action. The rain descended, verse 25, the floods came, and the wind... Floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, meaning upon this individual that had built upon that rock. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, which was what? The faith in Jesus Christ. He had a firm foundation. The rock is a foundation. And here's the other side of a foolish man. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Here's a situation, a man being called foolish. He builds his house on the sand because it's referred to him as he simply hears it but doesn't take action. Faith produces action. You can talk all about going to Winnipeg. If you never do it, that's no action. You just talked it. They say sometimes that's empty talk. And the rain descended upon this foolish man, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The result of his maybe just saying, Lord, Lord, not living in faith, hearing God's word, but leaving at that, was a person building on sand. And that's foolish. That is foolish. So where are we in our faith journey is a question. Upon what are we building upon? Our faith journey, is it on politics? We think the right person will save this country, this province. Is it politicians? There are people there very concerned, and so should we be. We should pray for our politicians. But are we to the point that we think that's going to do what we need to do? Politics? No, it won't. How about your doctor? How far do we trust our doctors? Sure, we like to go to doctors. Sure, we need those. Luke was a doctor. How about our banker? Meaning our finances. How about the vaccines? Do we think that will be something that will save our life and keep us healthy? And if it would, if we don't have the faith and we're not building on the foundation, at the end we're lost anyhow. That's the way it is. That's what the Bible teaches. Or are we trusting in our minister, in our bishop, or in a church? What are we trusting? See, and then we finally come to what Paul says, no other foundation can one lay. He warned them about this milk business and treating, just building on people. He says, that is nothing. Get off it. That is milk. Let's be on meat. What I mentioned here on these categories of politics and doctors and bankers and whatever, that's just to see where are we with our faith? And it should be founded upon our scripture passage. No other foundation can then lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want to look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, where Jesus comes and asks the people, who do they say that I am? Simon Peter replies in verse 16 and answered, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies in verse 17 and answered unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter says, well, you know, some people say this and some people say that of you. I say, Peter says, this is what I say, Peter said personally. He says, thou art the Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. No more, no less. That's where Peter's faith was built upon. Is it that way with us? And Jesus says, you're blessed. He gave the stamp of approval on that answer. He scored what? 100%. Let us also be so bold as Peter was. And Jesus said, you're blessed. And then he says in verse 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, we talked about the rock of building, the wise men built upon the rock. Here we find, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this statement that will stand as a rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not tear it down, will not prevail against it. It will stand. On the true foundation of Jesus Christ, the devil wants exactly what God has, and he wants to destroy that, but he has nothing to offer. He's always against what God wants. He says, but the true believer, which is the church, can't do anything about it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but not even against the believer that believes that. Jedquite, it does not work. So for closing, I want to read the opening verses and see if you remember how we can tie it together. I think that is only appropriate that I turn to the two verses, where the one verse for the first part of my message and the second part, that is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6. We'll take two of them. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's living in faith. Upon that faith, we make a foundation. And what is our foundation? We find that in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then we will be successful in good times and challenging times, whatever. Let us pray for closing. Father in heaven, we come to you at the end of this service, and we thank you for your written word that inspires us in hard times, but at all times to look up to you, especially in challenging times, to cry out to you. And we have seen the example of people in faith in the Old Testament, of Noah. Had no idea about rain, but had a good idea, or had a full idea in faith, that who God was and what God said would work, and did work well for Noah and his family. as the world perished. We have also seen Daniel and many others of faith in the Old Testament that stood the test of time and did not give up. But these all simply looked to the future of a fulfilling of faith of the promise of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And where we read in the New Testament that we should not be deceived. We should not be bewitched of any other doctrine coming to us than that which is laid by the grace of God that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, other foundation can no man lay. And if that foundation is laid in faith, that individual will be as a rock, like we read in Matthew 16. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It will stand the test because you are on that side. You have conquered. You will squash Satan's head. It might not always look that way, but you will. The promise is there that if we are children, we are more than conquerors. We ask your blessing upon the spoken word. We ask your blessing upon each one that is listening. Might it serve alone to the honor and glory for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. We'll now have a congregational song, please.
From the Blue Book again, page 126, we're marching to Zion.
Come we that love.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this service. May you have a blessed week and a blessed day. And I simply see on the pulpit here a prayer request for Lynette and Elias Flores. She is sick in the Health Science Center. She is the daughter of Reverend Art and Kathy Weeb. And please pray for her. She is still coping with COVID and sure not out of the woods as of yet. Please pray for her, but also her husband and the parents. And then also for Helena Thiessen, Nia Peters, also in Health Science Center. I don't know what the situation is there, but at the same time, pray for them, please. I just saw this notice here, and I hadn't seen it before. It's lying here, so. I want to leave you with the benediction according to Moses, bless the children of Israel, in Numbers chapter 6. Let us unite. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace now and into all eternity. God bless. Have a good week. Thank you. Thank you.